I believe the Senate Ways and Means Committee this week hearing a couple of different resolutions, one of them yours, and both of them, one of them dealing with taxes, one of them dealing with how the state conducts itself in terms of what to do when it has a certain amount of revenue.
That's right, Dean. It's interesting because we kind of captured both ends of the budget this morning. My SJR 46, which would go to a vote of the people if passed by the legislature, has to do with how we collect revenues. Senator Lauger's SJR 26 has to do with how we spend those revenues. And his comments were, I think, were appropriate. They were that we've, in the years that he's been here, and he'll be termed out this year, he has worked to restrict collecting too many taxes from Missourians. He said it's finally time that we need to start saying a little more about how we spend that money and reducing our expenditures rather than just working on the revenue side. It was interesting because one of the questions that was asked him was, well, would that not bind future legislatures? And of course, we're not supposed to pass bills that bind future legislatures. But the distinction here is that this SJR 26 is not a bill. It's a Senate joint resolution, which requires a vote of the people. And that's because it goes into the Constitution. If it's going into the Constitution, that is, in fact, what's supposed to bind legislatures. That's the people's arm saying this far and no farther. There was a little disappointment in the misunderstanding that, in fact, that is exactly the way we're supposed to do those kinds of limits, is with the people, so they get to decide, because they own the Constitution, and they're the ones that decide how far we can go and no further. The second SJR was one that I have pursued, and it's significantly changed this year, but it is still an attempt to do away with the income tax, to stop taxing Missourians based on how hard they work, how many hours they put in, how effective they are at work, and also how effectively they invest their money, and instead tax them on their consumption. Totally different basis of taxation. We already do tax consumption to some degree in Missouri. Our income tax is 4.225% at the state level, and then there usually are some local taxes, sales taxes that go on top of that. But SJR 26, it would put in the Constitution, after a vote of the people, that we would no longer tax any forms of income or earnings. So people who have investments and are making money on those investments, the gains on those investments would not be taxed. People who decide to get a second job or a third job, in some cases, the way the economy has been, they would not be paying more income tax because they would not be paying any income tax. As their incomes went up, they would have full discretion over how they spent that income. Today, they have no control over how much tax they pay unless they just deliberately decide not to make the money. And some people have, you know, actually made those kinds of decisions. I've heard of anecdotal situations where folks have actually turned down a raise because it was going to put them in a different tax bracket. Usually it's the federal tax code that is the heavier hand there, but Missouri state income tax reflects that code and uses it heavily in the calculation of state income tax. So by eliminating the income tax and going to a sales tax, there are a number of things that I think we would accomplish. Number one, it makes the state much more attractive to businesses because they have a competitive advantage over those states that charge them income taxes. Prices tend to be pushed down relative to the cost of production, the cost to manufacture, the cost of providing services. There will be some additional state income tax because the tax rate that we would anticipate going to and would actually put a limit in the Constitution is 7% sales tax. I do not think that it would take a 7% sales tax to replace the revenues of the income tax, but that is heavily dependent on how many exemptions you have. The determination of those exemptions is where a lot of the negotiation happens. Currently, there are a number of exemptions in the bill. We use some language that was developed by kind of an independent party in working with polling groups and deciding what people would accept and what they would not accept, plus the efforts here at the Capitol trying to come up with the kind of a bill that would actually be acceptable to the voters. The problem with that is that you end up exempting those groups that either have deep pockets to reach out to the people with their message, or those people that have deep pockets to have influential lobbying groups here at the Capitol. And I'm not sure that's the right way to decide exemptions. If we went to a consumption tax, some of the things that we would see almost immediately in contrast to the income tax is we'd see an equity and fairness there, because you're deciding how many taxes you pay based on what you're going to buy. New products would be the only things taxed. One of the theory behind the income tax is nothing is taxed more than once. So if you bought a new car, you'd pay the sales tax, but you wouldn't come back and pay taxes again every year when you got your tags, or every other year. There's the certainty there. You know exactly what the taxes are. You don't have to wait for your accountant to get through the income tax estimation and find out if you owe money or going to get money back at the end of the year. There's a convenience of payment. We all pay sales tax now. So we know how convenient it is to pay sales tax. The simplicity of it, there's no convoluted calculations that you have to do for a sales tax. And there's the neutrality of it, is that there's no distinction between you or me or anyone else. When we go to the store and we buy something, we're going to pay the same sales tax. Doesn't matter whether I make $1,000 and you make $100,000, we still pay the same sales tax. There's the transparency. You pick up your receipt, you know what you're paying in terms of sales tax. So all of those issues are part of good tax policy. They are provided as completely with a consumption tax as with any tax policy you can imagine. The income tax is just the opposite. It violates every one of those.
Does this eliminate, or would this eliminate, the property tax completely?
The property tax is not affected by this, except in the circuit breaker. And, of course, with the elimination of the income tax, then what you have is you have a circuit breaker with no mechanism to fund it. So the bill does address that, instructs the legislature that by the time the consumption tax would be implemented and the income tax would be gone, that a new procedure would have to be developed so that that circuit breaker tax break for the elderly on property taxes would be preserved.
This has a phase-in?
It does. It's a five-year phase-in. The first 3 years would cut the state sales tax to 3%, and then at two more years, it would go to 0%. So there is a phase-in. I'm not sure that that phase-in would be in the final version. I'm not completely happy with that, but we're still working through this with parties that know tax policy and can help us understand exactly how the changes will affect our constituents.